Jane Carragher, president of Capstone Marketing. Each year, the Association for Accounting Marketing Board of Directors selects a Hall of Fame recipient based upon dedication to and promotion of the discipline of accounting marketing and the accounting profession as a whole. I am excited today to be talking with Katie Tolan, the most recent inductee into the AIM Hall of Fame. After 17 years as an internal legal and accounting marketer, most notably as director of practice growth at Ray & Associates for 11 years, Katie is now the chief growth guide at CPA Growth Guides. Just like a guide leads and directs people on a journey, Katie shows accounting firms how to achieve profitable growth. She has been a member of AIM for many years and served as president in 2013-2014. Katie, congratulations on being selected as the newest member of the AIM Hall of Fame. How does it feel?
You know, it's a little surreal. I kind of joked, aren't I too young for this? And I think it's in part because you know what you still want to accomplish, and you know you still have big things ahead of you.
Absolutely. Well, it's well deserved.
Thank you.
So you've been in this profession a long time. What is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
You know, I think we as marketers, we really struggle because what we're selling is intangible. It's harder to put it into a package and put, features and benefits on it. So I think we really struggle understanding what it is that we do. And, in some cases, the firms aren't even offering the service consistently, so there's inconsistency in what it is that we're selling. And then, you really couple that with the fact that not all support our partners in this industry support growth. So, as marketers are trying to take this very intangible thing that we sell, they don't always have a huge cheering squad, helping them and encouraging them along.
And that has been an issue since day one, hasn't it?
It has. It definitely has not changed. I'd like to think it's getting better, but it still is an issue.
Right. There's that. I don't know if conflict is the right word, but there's a conflict between what the marketer is able to do and what the partners allow he or she to do.
Yeah, there definitely is. And, and the other thing is not all marketers are created equal. And I think, firms hire a marketer, and not recognizing the unique skills, talents, and abilities that specific person brings with them to the table. Just like an accountant, you can have a tax accountant, you can have an audit accountant, they're specialized. So are marketers. And, I think firms need to understand, who it is that they're bringing on board, what their unique abilities are, and then use them to their advantage.
Absolutely, because we both have seen firms that have that strong marketer or business developer who's really made an impact on their firm. And that demonstrates the role that marketing plays in firm growth.
It does. And, if you have the right person and you empower them, you will see great things.
Right. I agree. What are the biggest changes that you've noticed in accounting marketing over the past 5 years?
I think there are huge changes in the past even 2 to 3 years. And those really come back to marketing technology as well as big data. Marketing, even when I entered the profession, was more of an art. You sat around going, oh, does this look good? Is this the right message? Let's throw a dart at the board and see if something sticks. And marketing has really evolved, and we've really seen this in the past few years specifically, where it's more science-oriented. And, I think, that's really mixing up what it is that we're doing, because not only do the marketers have to change and have to understand how technology and data is impacting what they do, but, CPAs are still trying to understand what marketers did to begin with, and now there's new things that come to the table as well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you gave that response, because I just wrote, before I asked that question, big data on my notepad, because I know that this is something you're known for in using data. Can you give us an example of how that works?
You know, there's different types of data. I think the basic simplistic data that all firms should use is customer purchasing data. You know, practice management software, a firm's time and billing system, you know, is what we live and breathe by. And in there's a ton of information about your clients, what they're buying, how often they're buying, and you can compile that data and get some pretty impressive insights. In today's big world data, there's all sorts of data out there that you can mix with that. You can mix your marketing data, you know, website, maybe downloads of content that you have. You can add social media interactions. So you can really take structured data and unstructured data and bring it together to paint a picture of your clients and your prospects so incredibly detailed and unlike anything we've ever seen before that it just makes marketing more effective.
How many percentage-wise, I mean, how many firms do you think are using data effectively?
Well, I think there's a difference between the ones using them and using them effectively. Because I always ask that question. I'm like, hey, who uses data? And, you know, usually it's like 50% of the marketers. I'm all excited. And then, you know, you kind of hear what they're doing with that data. And I would say they're using it in a very limited purpose. You know, like they use data to see what the most popular pages are on their website. They're not really looking at that holistic look of your client. And, you know, I would say that the number is pretty small. You might be able to count them on fingers, maybe at least fingers and toes.
Mm-hmm. Right, which tells us that that's an opportunity for many firms out there to be more effective or strategic with their marketing efforts based upon the information they have at their disposal. They need to gather it and analyze it.
Yes, and I think, you know, we're seeing how this is playing out in other industries. You know, the accounting industry, we always seem to be on the back end of any adoption curve, and we're definitely, you know, on the back end of the data curve as well. So, you know, there's good case studies. You just have to be creative to learn how, you know, another B2B company in another industry use data and figure out what that means here in the accounting space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a great point. So what's your prediction for accounting marketing for the next 5 years or two or three?
You know, I think data, because we're on the back end of the adoption curve, and technology is going to continue to be a big issue for marketers in the years to come. When you look at accounting marketing as well, you've got to look at the changes that are happening in the entire industry. And there's, you know, definitely a push for more and more advisory services. And I think marketers can have a tremendous role in helping figure out what those advisory services should be and help in the innovation of a firm's current as well as potential offerings. So as firms are trying to move away from that compliance and find that revenue that they can actually charge a higher dollar and realize a higher dollar for, you know, I think marketing has a significant role in that.
I agree. At the same time, what has been your experience in identifying the CPAs with the skills to recognize and provide those advisory services?
You know, I think it's something either an accountant is good at today or they're not. However, I think there is the capability to learn if you're willing to learn to be that advisor. You know, I think, you know, accountants are very good with that technical mindset. You know, whatever their area of accounting or tax is, they're really, really good at it. What they need to do is just be better business people, you know, increase their business acumen and actually understand various aspects of business and how everything comes together. And I think if they can gain that knowledge and that understanding, it's going to make those advisory services more natural to provide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree. What factors or skills enable accounting marketers to be successful? You know a lot of them. Are there qualities that you see that they have in common?
You know, probably one of the best things that I learned early in my career that's really stayed with me, and I think I've seen that in other successful marketers as I've talked to them, is your ability to think like a business owner. You know, understanding how a CPA firm is structured. And, you know, if you are an owner of that business, would you make that investment? Would you spend your dollars? And I think if you can think that way, you can make a better case for what it is that you're trying to do. And then recognize when, you know, maybe an idea you have, as much as you think it's passionate or you're passionate about it, may not actually fly and tweak it accordingly. So somebody gave me that advice early on. You know, think about it as opening your own wallet. Would you take out the money and hand it over? So I've always tried to do that. I think, though, a lot of the most successful marketers can see the big picture. They're more than just marketers. They understand what the firm is trying to achieve. They're willing to help in every aspect of growing an overall successful CPA firm in any way that they can contribute. And, you know, I think, you know, if you want to be treated as an owner of a business, why don't you act as one? And I think, you know, that's going to really help get you the seat at the table that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So when you consider your personal skills, which skills do you think has contributed most to your success?
You know, I like to say I'm very determined. One of the first managing partners I worked with in the accounting space, he said that he actually once referred to me as a bulldog. And I was like, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I'll take it as a compliment. So I'm definitely very determined. You know, I'm also not afraid to share my ideas. But I also recognize in sharing my ideas, that doesn't mean my ideas are always accepted. But I'm definitely in a position where I feel like, you know, it's up to me to give my opinion and at least get them then out in the door and for discussion. You know, the other thing that I do is I don't like to do the same thing twice. I very much have a continuous improvement mindset. If there's something you did once, even if you were incredibly successful, there's a way you can make it better. And that's something I always strive for. And maybe that's, you know, where the determination comes in as well, because I'm like, great, we had, you know, 1,000% ROI. We can do better next time. And just really trying to always up my game.
Right. Yeah, I think that is so true. And that it gets back to something we were talking about earlier, that the marketer needs to be in a firm with a partnership that's willing to listen to those ideas and who are interested in executing campaigns or marketing programs. Otherwise, you know, the marketer could have the best ideas, but if there isn't a support for the execution, they're in a tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think the partner has to view it as I have to listen with a very open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was incredibly lucky that a managing partner that I worked with actually encouraged me to be fearless. And that was something he said to me often. You know, I would take an idea to him and he'd look at me and go, "Now, Katie, are you really being fearless?" Like, he really pushed me to take it to that next level. And I know how unique I was to have that kind of support and that experience, because not all marketers do. But if a partner will just, you know, say, I'm open to listening and recognizing that there may be a way, a better way than I know, then I think you can have some very fruitful conversation that could lead into some pretty positive benefits for your firm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. How can marketers gain more power within their firms? Because power could also be, you know, termed as influence. So mm-hmm. how could they be more powerful or influential?
You know, I think there's really, I mean, basically there's two ways. You have to earn it or you have to ask for it. I remember the very first time I went to a managing partner and said, "Can you please tell me what's on the agenda for the partner meeting?" I said, "You know, nothing confidential, but can you give me an idea what's being talked about?" And, you know, when he shared with me, I was like, is there any way I can be there for that little portion of that meeting? Because I feel wherever in the firm growth strategy is being discussed, I need to be part of that discussion. I was petrified to make that ask. I mean, just scared beyond belief. And he looks at me and goes, "I think we can make that happen." So, you know, you have to ask and to be invited to some of those conversations. But, you know, you're really only invited in because you've earned it. You understand what the business is trying to achieve. You're working for the business. You put the firm first. Like, you know, my job is to protect the firm, to grow the firm, and, you know, that's what I'm here to do. I want to make sure that we have profitable growth. And then I think people are willing to listen to you if you can prove that, you know, you really have their best intentions at heart. You know, I've always viewed it as our partners are no different than shareholders in, you know, major public companies. You know, what does the company do? It's trying to increase shareholder value. And that's what I'm trying to do, too. Just my shareholders are partners.
Right. You gave a great example there, because perhaps if you hadn't asked to attend that portion of the partner meeting, you would not have been invited.
I probably would not have.
That's a missed opportunity.
Yes, and I understand. I mean, I tell marketers to do that all the time, but I can relate. I know that feeling in the pit of your stomach that you're going to have the minute you ask that. But, mm-hmm. you know, until you ask, you don't know what kind of results you're going to get.
Right, I agree. So what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
You know, I think all of us have a superpower, you know, whatever it is. It's that thing that we can do so well, we could probably do it in our sleep. And I think we need to use that to our advantage. And then the skills that we're not as strong at have great resources to pull you along. You know, so if you're really good at content marketing and you don't understand the data side, have a mentor, have a counterpart, have, you know, maybe it's someone in your firm, your COO or something, have somebody that you can go to that can provide you that knowledge that you don't have. You don't have to understand every aspect of marketing inside and out. You have to know where to get the answers. And, you know, that comes from building a network, of not being afraid to ask. You know, there's no such thing as a silly question, and honestly, there isn't. And I think if you can do that, you know, you're setting yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then on the opposite side, if you will, what's the best piece of advice you have for managing partners?
It's probably a little harder. You know, I think most managing partners view themselves as a partner, and I think first and foremost they should view themselves as a CEO. You know, a CEO leading a company has a completely different skill set than probably what our traditional partner or managing partner has. And, you know, I think you've got to embrace your role, understand your role of growing the firm. So, you know, it's about figuring out how you want to do it, getting help when you can't figure it out yourself. I mean, a lot of times people need, you know, the outside help to come in and help them figure it out. But then you really need to set a vision. You know, you need to be able to paint that vision, but you can't just set it for the partner group. You've actually got to communicate it firm-wide. You know, you're not going to have success if you don't have every single person on the bus facing the same direction. And, you know, so figure out what you need to do to come up with that strategy and create your vision, and then get everyone involved. And I think that's a hard thing to do. It's easier said than done.
Right. Because I think over these decades that firms have been allowed to, you know, market and promote themselves, that has caused a change in thinking about how a firm is run. It's certainly more competitive now. You know, while there's still tens of thousands of firms, most of those are sole practitioners. So it's the number of firms, you know, are shrinking. So it's very interesting your viewpoint there of how a managing partner perceives themselves to put on that CEO hat.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're a partner, you have a lot of responsibilities from client service and keeping up to date on technical expertise. And you know, I'm not saying that's not important, especially if you're a sole practitioner, but you also have to have that time to actually think as, you know, this is my company and I'm running it. And, you know, I remember one of the managing partners I worked with, he goes, you know, it never leaves my mind that we have hundreds of people relying on us to be the livelihood of their families. And he goes, and that's not something I take lightly. And, you know, that always resonated with me. I'm like, that's a great way to look at it.
Right, right. That it was more than a business. You know, that mm-hmm. this was, you know, it was a business, but it was, as you say, supporting the livelihoods of many, many people. Yeah, and that's why it's important to be able to look at that vision, right, and see that big picture and figure out where you want to take the firm and to gather the people that are going to support you in doing that, including the marketing professionals.
I agree. I think that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Great. We have been talking today with Katie Tolan of CPA Growth Guides, the most recent inductee into the AIM Hall of Fame. Katie, congratulations again.
Thank you, Jane.